you caring for an aging loved one? Are you a senior searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. And now, America's Senior Care Consultant, Steve Kuecker.
Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. I'm Steve Kuecker, your senior care consultant, and I really appreciate you tuning in today. We have a wonderful program on tap with my first guest, my friend and special guest in studio, Mr. Ben Socek. He's the owner-operator of Home Downsizing Solutions. And Ben, welcome back to Senior Care Live.
Good to be back, Steve. Thanks for having me again. And as always, hope the listeners get a lot of great value from the show today.
Absolutely. I know they will. You're always full of just some really, really excellent information and resources. So if you're listening, you're going to want to write the phone number down because at some point, either today, tomorrow, it could be a few months from now, it could be a year from now, you're going to want to reach out to Ben when the timing is right. 855-291-5005. That's Home Downsizing Solutions at 855-291-5005 or online at homedownsizing.com. And Ben, just as a kind of a review, kind of a 101, tell us a little bit about Home Downsizing Solutions and the services that you offer.
Sure, Steve. Home Downsizing Solutions are primary service that we offer, and I call it a service, not just buying houses, but the primary service that we offer is doing everything that we can to provide an easy way for long-term homeowners to transition to either just a downsizing to a smaller home, apartment, or some type of senior living.
Yeah.
So our primary goal, primary service, of course, is to buy the house directly from the homeowner. But then we can facilitate or introduce other services to the homeowner, such as organizers, people that can pack things, move, to make that transition from point A to point B as easy and hopefully stress-free as possible.
There are a lot of moving parts when you do that.
There are. And of course, one of the great benefits that we do provide is overcoming that catch-22 of not knowing exactly when they're going to move into a senior community or apartment, or being able to move immediately, but then being faced with having a vacant house to deal with. And so with what we do, we can overcome all of that.
Okay. And so, and we were talking off mic, before the program, and you were wanting me to share just maybe a few of the situations that I run into with my firm and my clients with Senior Care Consulting. So it seems to be kind of one or the other. So recently I'm working with a very nice lady. She is very thoughtfully being proactive in searching for a continuing care retirement community. She's going to downsize. Her house looks like a house on the front of a postcard. It is literally picture perfect. It is just totally updated and ready to go. And it's just kind of like, drop the keys off, write me a check and get the show on the road. So she is already connected with a realtor, and it's going to go on the retail market, if you will, or the traditional market. Then I work with quite a few folks who have, They're now living with maybe one of the adult children, and they've already sold their house, and that has turned into cash, and then they've spent that on, care and other items and that kind of thing. So they have, X dollars left, and then now we need to move to a care community. So we don't have a house involved at that point. But then I do run into a number of clients, and this is more, I think, of maybe a better fit for Home Downsizing Solutions. They've lived in the house for 40 years. There's too much stuff in it. And maybe they lost a spouse. The house needs a roof. The house needs, a new HVAC and all of these sort of things. They don't want to deal with it. And it's probably a better solution to just sell the house as is for that net value and then have that cash on hand to move forward.
That's an excellent example of who we work with. We, of course, work with people in all types of situations, but you're correct. In today's market, it is very easy to sell a house, and like I've told people for 27 years, is the people that choose to do business with my company put value in the benefits that we offer.
Yeah.
So to some people, it doesn't bother them to get a house show ready and keep a house show ready during a listing period. Maybe it doesn't bother them to have strangers walking through their house.
Yep.
Maybe they don't care about the common challenges that go with listing a house. And just to disclose, I'm a licensed agent.
Yeah.
So I can understand both sides of how to market and sell a house. And to some people, though, it's just an easier way to say, you know that I'm probably going to get less for my house by selling to you, but I just want an easier way. And so that's who we will tend to work with.
Well, and the other challenge is, and we've talked about this before, is if you have several things that need to be done or repaired or replaced in your home, all of a sudden you just became a general contractor. And now you're pulling in HVAC, you're pulling in electricians to get some of the wiring up to code, you're pulling in a roofing company to replace the roof and all of these sort of things. And good luck getting that done anytime soon. So getting back to that timing situation, what if you need to get your hands on the money? You don't want to take out a home equity loan. I mean, you're trying to sell your house and move on to the next step, the next chapter of your life. So that doesn't make sense. And so sometimes it makes a lot more sense to sell the house as is for cash, walk away. You've got cash in hand, and that'll help you pay for your senior care.
Correct. The timing is, as you know, sometimes very critical. And with us being able to buy a house as soon as the title company can check title and prepare closing paperwork, literally within 24 hours of us looking at a house in the past, that can overcome some of those issues. So certainly there are products out there so that a person can get a loan, a home equity loan, to pay for senior care so that they can make that transition and then sell the house afterwards. But with what we do, we can eliminate that issue just like we can eliminate other challenges. Just recently, actually yesterday, met with a family that moved a family member to senior care, and they had a hoarding situation.
Okay.
And they actually had a bid from a cleanout company that was over $20,000 just to clean the house out, which I had never heard of before.
Wow.
But they had a lot of stuff in the house.
Sure.
Besides the fact that the house needed a new HVAC, interior paint, floor coverings, windows, siding, all those other issues. So
plus 20 grand for the clean out.
Correct. Before they could even start with the rehab.
Ouch.
So that's another example of who we work with, though.
So are you able to help out? So I assume you were able to help these folks out. So if someone has a hoarding or aggressive collector, as you've mentioned before, and there's a lot of stuff here. What can you help them out, and how do you handle that?
We absolutely have. We have in the past. We'll buy the house completely as is with all the stuff in it, especially if the individual homeowner has moved out of the house. So they already have a place that they've gone to. If we can make an offer, if they accept the offer, then we can close as quickly as the title company can, again, check title and prepare closing paperwork. They can have the cash in hand at that point. And we take care of the house and all the issues with it going beyond that.
And they can just choose what they want to take with them and just leave the rest of it behind.
That's correct. And we can even help them with the facilitation of moving the things that they want to take.
Okay.
So in the past, we've worked with a moving company to come in. The homeowner has gone through the house and said, I want this, this, and this. I don't care about anything else. So we help them move the things that they want to move, and then we take care of the rest.
Okay. And then what if there is a timing issue? I think you referred to it earlier, but what if I want to sell my house, I have the cash in hand, but maybe my assisted living apartment isn't ready for maybe 30, 45 days?
Yes, we've worked with a lot of situations like that so that we can buy the house right away. The homeowner knows the house is sold, so they don't have to worry about anybody backing out at the last minute or something going awry at the last minute. But then they can stay in the house until they can make that transition. so that that's one less issue to worry about.
Well, and that's huge, because that's the world that I live in, and I'm seeing all kinds of waiting lists. They usually, you know, they peak out in January, February, about halfway into March, and then they start to taper down. We're halfway into May, and I don't see any tapering yet in a lot of these places. So waiting lists, and then that timing is a real issue. It is a major issue. If this is resonating with you, if it's catching your attention, reach out to Ben Socek with Home Downsizing Solutions at 855-291-5005. We're online at homedownsizing.com. Now, the Senior Care Live question of the week. You must be a real estate professional to own a home downsizing franchise. Is that statement true or false? What do you think?
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit seniorcarelive.com. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to seniorcarelive.com. Now back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. You must be a licensed real estate professional to own a home downsizing franchise. Is that statement true or false? And the answer is false. The answer is false. And Ben, tell us why that answer is false.
In general, you certainly do not need to have a real estate license to own a franchise. And so we, as a company, we can certainly buy a house. And if it's our house or your company house through the franchise, then you can certainly sell your own house, whether it's yourself or through a licensed agent as well. So in general, no. We would prefer a person have some experience with seniors in general, and have a desire to serve seniors. That's really what we're looking for, more so than just a real estate professional. But if a person has real estate experience, you know, that's fine as well.
Yeah.
But we certainly want to serve the senior demographic to provide a better experience than what a lot of, well, I shouldn't say a lot, but there's certainly some home buying companies and people that claim to be home buying companies, I don't think are serving people as well as they should.
That's an understatement. So, that's true though. That's true though. So as you are always trying to do the right thing, the best thing for the client, and that is not just to buy the house. There are all of these, we just talked about a hoarding issue. What do you do with all the stuff? What about packing? What about moving? What about all of the things? So it's more of a comprehensive approach. And so someone with the background in senior care, it could be in the communities, it could be home care, hospice, something related to home, to senior care, that would be, I see how that would be very helpful.
Correct. Any of those circumstances, the primary thing that we're looking for is a desire to serve seniors, to provide the service that we have, so that it's a better experience, and that the senior is being taken care of, and their family, of course.
Okay, so let's talk about Home Downsizing Solutions and your franchising efforts, and let's go ahead and unpack that a little bit.
Okay. At this point, we've been technically a franchise for approximately a year. And in general, I'm looking at areas such as the Kansas City market, potentially St. Louis, Des Moines, and the Midwest in general, since it'll be easier for me to provide the support from a franchisor standpoint.
Yeah.
But certainly if there are people listening to the show in other areas, I'm certainly interested in speaking to them as well if they want to bring the service into their area.
Okay.
So my preference is Midwest, but certainly other areas we would like to develop as well, especially if there's someone out there that wants to bring that service to their area.
Well, we're heard on 62 stations and counting so far, including, you know, Florida, Texas, Nevada, Santa Clara, California, Washington, D.C. It's we're everywhere. Senior Care Live is omnipresent. So
very good.
But with the focus on Midwest, and that makes sense. So what? How do they go about raising their hand, saying, "Hey, Ben, I'm interested in learning more about possibly purchasing a home downsizing solutions franchise"?
The best thing that a person can do is to check, of course, the website out. I think the website has a lot of information about our company in general. So check out what we do. Make sure that what we do is a good fit for what a person wants to be a part of. The franchising information that's on the website as well. Some of what the person is buying into is myself, quite frankly, and what I've done for more than 27 years at this point.
Sure.
And so no matter what franchise a person is looking at, I would think they'd want to make sure that they're getting involved with a company that they feel strongly about, that they have a good feeling about. And so certainly, check us out before doing anything. But of course, you can contact us through the website, through calling us at the number 855-291-5005. And we'd be happy to start the process of helping educate them, a person, on what we do and being involved with a franchise.
Okay. All right. That is excellent. So if you are in the business of senior care, and I'll tell you what, I don't have the statistics off the top of my head, but there were during COVID and still today, there are a lot of people leaving healthcare for a lot of different reasons. And so maybe you have that background in senior related healthcare, but you're wanting to apply your experience and your knowledge maybe to something a little bit different. And you've always been interested in real estate. And you're like, wait a minute, I can marry those two interests together, own my own business, the Home Downsizing Solutions franchise. I'm really interested in checking that out. Give Ben a call at 855-291-5005. Or again, it's an excellent website, homedownsizing.com. And Ben, we were talking earlier about potential clients and client situations and that sort of thing. So if someone is interested, and again, they raise their hand, they call you, they contact you through the website, et cetera, walk us through the process of how you would interact with a client.
With someone that wants to sell a house?
Yeah, or maybe they're like, we're interested in the service. What's the next step?
As far as a person that wants to make the transition to a smaller house, apartment, or senior living, a person can certainly fill out some information on the website, but then we would generally get on the phone with them, ask them some general questions about the property, about their circumstance, about what they want to see happen. One of the questions that I always ask is, What would you like to see, Mr. Homeowner, what would you like to see happen in the next 90 days? If you could wave a magic wand, what do you want to see happen? So that way I know what their goals are, trying to determine their goals, what's important to them, whether they want to try and squeeze every dime out of the house, which in that case, nobody wants to give their house away. But if they have a perfect house and they want to maximize what they have, that they're not under any time constraints and the benefits aren't of a whole lot of value, then I would certainly direct them towards a traditional real estate agent and that form of selling a house.
Okay.
But if I know that, like we've worked with before, if a family member is in town for a week, they need to clean a house out and get a parent or loved one into a better living situation or take them home with them to another state, then we can help them in that situation by buying the house immediately.
And you can move along pretty quickly because I know that you've worked with some local clients and they were amazed at how fast you turned this whole transaction around. Mr. Ben Socek with Home Downsizing Solutions at 855-291-5005 or online at homedownsizing.com. And Ben, thanks so much for all you do and good luck with this upcoming month and God bless you. And thank you for your service as well.
You're quite welcome. Thank you for having me on the show today, Steve. And again, if anybody has any questions that I can assist with, just let us know.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. We'll have more coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. Stick around. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For podcasts of the program, go to SeniorCareLive.com or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so we're going to shift gears and visit with my friend and special guest in studio, Mr. Glenn Stockton. He's the owner of Stockton and Cant Law. And Glenn, welcome back to Senior Care Live.
All right, Steve, thanks for having me here.
All right, so earlier in the program, I had on Ben Socek with Home Downsizing Solutions. And as you know, he works with a lot of clients who are downsizing and transitioning to senior care. And part of that process, if it's appropriate, is that he can sell their house, but he also connects that homeowner with a lot of those related services or needed services to help with that transition. So staying with the theme of the house, I have so many questions. I know maybe just enough to be dangerous and maybe not. But I've always been a little bit confused by this stuff, so I'm so glad that we're talking about this. Let's talk about a person and their house and how are there opportunities, and I get this question all the time, are there opportunities to protect the house as an asset if someone is going into senior care?
Absolutely. In fact, that's typically one of the major goals clients have when they're doing estate planning and elder law planning, is how do we protect the home or, you know, the net sale proceeds of a home? How do we protect it from the state, you know, taking it or putting liens on it or, you know, Medicaid spend down issues? How do we protect it?
And I've heard differing ideas. So can you protect the entire value of the house? Can you protect half of the value of the house? And maybe it depends on if there's one owner or two owners. And I mean, let's just go ahead and open that box. Right. I know there's a lot to talk about there.
Yeah, and then I can give the favorite answer of lawyers is it depends.
Exactly.
That goes in. But typically we can protect the entire value of the home, especially if we do pre-planning, right? If we're planning in advance. And that's where I think so many people miss this, is that they do their estate plans, but they're not thinking about what happens if I ever need long-term care, if I've got to go into nursing care or assisted living. How do I protect the home? And so when we do our estate planning, we want to be planning ahead, and then it's easy. But when we get into crisis modes, we haven't done proper planning, and maybe one spouse has to go into care. Well, if the other spouse is there, we can use liens and exemptions, and we can protect the home from liens with the exemptions of a well spouse. What if there isn't another spouse in the home, if they both go in? Typically, we're still able to protect at least the vast majority of the value of the home, more than half. But, you hear that, oh, I can protect at least half. And that would certainly be the case. But usually we can protect the entire home.
And so let's talk about being proactive, because earlier in the week I attended one of your presentations. It was absolutely fantastic, by the way.
Thank you.
You covered a lot of ground, but I'll tell you what, you didn't talk over my head. You made it very understandable, very relatable, very relevant, and I just thought it was one of the best presentations I've seen in a very long time. And so great job.
Thank you.
But it was so good. But you had talked about a lot of different situations there, and you just mentioned two. So let's say we're planning, we're going to be proactive, very deliberate, and we want to look at setting up our estate to possibly protect what is usually the biggest asset or one of the biggest assets that we have, and maybe be able to preserve that, maybe pass it along to family, et cetera, or keep the farm in the family, et cetera, those sort of things. So if you're doing this in advance, what does that look like and how does that work?
So there's two basic ways that people are going to put their estate plan together. They're going to either use a will-based plan, where a last will and testament is the centerpiece of a plan, or they're going to use a trust-based plan, where a trust is a centerpiece. With a trust, it's easy. We, think of a trust as being like a safe, a legal safe. We create the safe. We put the home into the safe, just meaning we fund the trust with the home by titling the home into the name of the trust. The trust now owns it. And if we've structured that trust properly, that home will be protected as long as it's been in there for more than 5 years before someone needs long-term care. That home is 100% protected. And there's ways that various ways we can set the trust up to make sure we get those protections. The other way is with the will. Now, wills do really do nothing for us while we're alive, right? They are a document that comes into play at death and answer the question of who gets what. So that's not going to help us protect the home. So if we're going to use a will-based plan, it is imperative that we have very robust powers of attorneys in place. This is especially true in Kansas because in Kansas we have homestead protections that are constitutionally granted. And so in order for someone, you know, if you can't sell your own home, you've had a stroke or something's happened and you have to go into long-term care and somebody's got to sell that home on your behalf. So in the trust, it's easy. You've named the successor trustee, they'll be able to do it. But if you don't have a trust, your power of attorney has to grant that authority. And in Kansas, it has to include the legal description for the property or the agent would not have the power to do so and would have to get the courts involved. So making sure you've got robust powers of attorneys in place and then giving consideration to a trust. But a trust is sure going to do things for us that no other plan can do.
So that sounds like a lot. It sounds very important. How many people actually have this done properly right now? I would guess at least half do not have it done properly.
Of people that come in, whether they've, you know, a lot of them have not done any estate planning, so obviously okay. They don't have it done. But even of the people that have their estate plan done, it's surprising to me that, you know, most of these estate plans don't even accidentally deal with the issue of what happens if I need long-term care. Mm. How are we going to protect the home? It's like, well, you need to go see an elder law attorney for that. When do they go see the elder law attorney? When they're sitting down at the admission seat desk at the
in a crisis.
Care. Yeah, it's in a crisis. And that's the time when it's the hardest to do it and the least amount of options available. So ideally, the plan should address this stuff early on and have, you know, options that go in to be able to protect assets. But when we get in that crisis mode, there's, again, a lot that can be done and it can get complex, but it's just taking the options that are available to make sure that you're protecting that home, which is, as you said, typically one of the largest assets someone owns.
And I don't know of anyone who makes their best decision under the heat of that crisis just bearing down on you. You're so stressed out. Now you're making decisions, and you're making really huge decisions at that point. Just a bad idea. Avoid it if you can.
Absolutely. You know, pre-plan and just think through. As we tell people that we sit down and plan with, it's, you know, always thinking, where's the end? You know, we work back for that. Where's the goal? Where's our destination we're trying to get to? And then how do we construct this plan to make sure when we get there, we've got it covered?
And so you mentioned trust. So I know for sure that there are a lot of people everywhere where they hear the word trust and they think, oh, well, that's only for rich people. So, and again, in your presentation, you had a series of slides right before you started the presentation of, you know, Michael Jackson and Elvis and Prince and just all of these big time celebrities that didn't have their estate plan set up properly and they lost a big chunk of their value because it just wasn't done. And you explained all that very well. But people think, okay, maybe I'm generalizing, but a lot of folks think, oh, well, I don't have enough money to need a trust. I think that's only for people who are fairly wealthy.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. I think that came from how trust kind of really got started and took a hold in the early days of trust planning in the U.S., where it really started gaining traction. And it was used for tax planning for people that had wealth and how do we protect against taxes. But that's only one thing that trusts do. And so for like protecting the home, someone who has a lot of wealth, we're less concerned about the cost of long-term care. You know, we'll be able to pay for care. We're not, you know, we'll be able to protect the home and we're okay. Someone of modest means, where their home may represent the largest asset they have, to lose that home, having to pay for cost of care and going broke in a nursing home, those are the people that, to me, the trust brings the greatest value to. Mm-hmm. And if we just apply the principle as we apply to all estate planning, don't overcomplicate things, keep it simple, but make sure we're protecting what matters most. And trust are a fantastic way to do it. If we're not going to use the trust, then we just need to think through, okay, how do we best set this up to protect it? And making sure we got robust powers of attorneys would certainly be an essential piece of that.
Mr. Glenn Stockton with Stockton and Kant Law. You can reach them online. It's really, really good website, Stockton Law, and you spell it just like it sounds, StocktonLaw.com, or you can call this phone number, 913-856-2828. And again, we're talking about, you know, this is Glenn is based in the Kansas City area, and this is a national program. So in your neighborhood, if you'd like to find an estate planning attorney, you could go to the American Academy of Estate Planning Attorneys, and that is AAEPA.com, AAEPA.com. Or if you need an elder law attorney, NAELA, NAELA.org, and you can find one in your neighborhood. But this information is universally applicable, and we're hoping that it helps. And we're going to have more with Glenn coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. To contact Steve or a guest on his show, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more coming up.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. All right. Here with my friend and special guest in studio, Mr. Glenn Stockton. He's the owner of Stockton and Kant Law. You can reach out to Glenn and the great team at StocktonLaw.com, or give a phone call, 913-856-2828. And again, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, if you're in another state, another area, and you want to find an elder law attorney in your neighborhood, go to the website naela.org, naela.org. That's naela.org. Stands for the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys. Or you can go to AAEPA.com, AAEPA.com, and that's the American Academy of Estate Planning Attorneys. And Glenn, this is just such fantastic information. I know we're getting some attention out there. we may have some folks going, oh, wait a minute. So what if, so just to continue the thought, so we talked about if you're proactive and you're deliberate, what if you made the mistake, you waited too long? Something happened, we have a hospitalization, or we have a death in the family, or we have a crisis. And what if you waited too long, and like you said, you need to make these big decisions at the admissions desk? How can you help someone in that situation?
Yeah, and unfortunately, this is where we see a lot of people that they hadn't prepared for this, and they didn't see it coming oftentimes, right?
Yeah.
It was the stroke or something that happened, and they've been discharged to hospital rehab and then being told you're not going home. How do we protect the home and the other assets? And that's what elder law attorneys do, right, as a primary function of what we do in the elder law world. And we're in that crisis mode at that point. So we don't have the luxury typically in that situation of being able to satisfy a five-year look back. So, you know, it starts with exemptions. I think we always start there. What can we exempt out? Is there a way I can just exempt the home? If we have a well spouse, meaning there's a spouse who's not going to need care, still going to be living in the home, typically that's pretty easy. We can put an exemption on the home, but then I always have to be worried, yeah, but what if that spouse needs care?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you know, we need to be, again, now we're planning, we're doing the crisis planning for the one spouse, but we're planning ahead for the other, so we're not in crisis again a few years down the road. But we can use exemptions. We can oftentimes there may be an exemption. Maybe there was a child or a family member who was living in the home, and we can use a caregiver exemptions. Sometimes we can, sell the home. You had Ben on earlier and talking about, so we can sell that, but then how do we protect those net sale proceeds? And there's a lot of ways we can do that. A lot of tools at the disposal of an elder law attorney. But the thing is, seek that assistance as soon as you can. Once you realize that, hey, it's looking like, we may not be able to go home, I would encourage you, call us or seek out the assistance of an elder law attorney, because as elder law attorneys, we're going to walk you through that to make sure we're protecting assets, but also to make this as easy as possible, this whole transition for you and for your loved ones.
And, you know, I think that's really, really interesting. And I'm learning. I try to learn every day, and I'm learning with your presentation earlier this week and then today. So I always thought if you sold the house and that's an exempt asset – and it turns it in, it turns into cash, say, you know, X dollars. It doesn't matter how much it is. And cash is a countable asset, but you may be able to protect that as well?
Right, depending on how we structure the sale. I mean, we may be able to do it with because the home was in a trust. It was exempt when it was transferred in. And then when we sell it, it's now exempt. Certainly for Medicaid, if it's been in there for more than 5 years. But for VA purposes, for our veterans out there, that could be day one, right? Even though the VA has a three-year look back, if we transfer the home in while it's exempt, you know, we could transfer it today and in theory sell it tomorrow, and those proceeds would be protected from VA. So we're also looking at Medicaid's not – insurance is not the only benefit that's out there, not the only way to pay for long-term care. But, yeah, there's a lot of ways through promissory notes, through potentially, you know, annuities, Medicaid-compliant annuities, through various ways that we could take net sale proceeds and still be able to protect them from a complete Medicaid spend down.
See, that is fascinating, and this is why I get a little preachy when it comes to this stuff. A lot of people say, "Oh, well, no, I'll just go online and do some, you know, download a form." And I'm like, "No." Contact a qualified and experienced elder law attorney. And my quote is, and I've said this forever, it's the best money you will ever spend, because there is no online form that is going to handle and think through what's in your best interest. It just in that short information that you just provided, that cannot be done online. AI is not going to help you. Forget about it. Okay. Contact an experienced and qualified elder law attorney.
Yeah, I think, you know, in the concept of, you know, using, you know, whether it's AI or, you know, some will somebody's going to pull off a shelf and fill in, that's that you're hiring attorneys to create forms, to you're hiring an attorney for the transaction of estate planning. And within our firm, we've always looked at that. That's the wrong mindset. You know, we don't view this as a transaction. You know, you're not hiring me to create a set of documents. You're hiring me to make sure that you have a plan in place and your plan works when needed. And so there's more than just creating the documents, because those documents are going to get outdated very quickly. So within our firm, you know, we like to meet with our clients on a regular basis, make sure that those, you know, we keep those up to date. We call it the annual check-in. We don't charge for that meeting. We've always found that to be a win-win relationship. You know, we're not charging our clients just to confirm plan choices, make sure the I's are dotted, T's are crossed. But boy, if our clients have future legal needs, they're far more likely to look to us and our firm than some other attorney. We get a lot of referrals. So, you know, but that concept is you got to look at the stuff periodically. You don't just set it and forget it, you know, in 15 years from now, expect that that plan's going to necessarily work. You want to make sure you review it periodically.
Well, and one thing that can outdate it really quickly is a death of a spouse, or what if there's a divorce and then you remarry? That's a game changer. You have to reset the whole thing at that point, I would assume.
Often so, especially if you haven't planned for this stuff in advance, the spouse or remarry or whatever, those are game changers.
Yep, absolutely. And then just in the very short time that we have available, any advice on – so since it's just there's such a proliferation of AI and all the online stuff, and for $15 you can get your will and trust kit and all this kind of stuff. It, like you said, those are forms. They're not relationships. They're not customized to you. You don't have an attorney's mind listening to your goals and then working out a plan. But aren't those things just pretty generic, like kind of boilerplate kind of things that you would – it's not really customized to you?
And typically it's true. I mean, I've seen some software that can produce them, but you have to know the questions to ask. But they're still typically not designed with the elder law planning piece, the protecting the homes. Those things are typically not part of those programs.
Excellent. Mr. Glenn Stockton with Stockton and Cant Law. You can reach out to Glenn and the great team at 913-856-2828 or online at StocktonLaw.com. And again, I'll say it from now until forever, hire a qualified, experienced elder law attorney. It will be the best money you have ever spent. And Glenn, thanks so much for being here today. I really appreciate you.
All right, Steve, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it as well.
You bet. All right, I'm Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week right here on Senior Care Live.